Being a Christian woman and walking in God's calling for our lives can be a difficult task. With the world and pop culture telling us to be one way, and the Bible saying another, you kind of end up feeling like an other. Well, you're not alone. Join me now and my friends as we navigate life in our 20s and 30s, while making sure we live out our faith, embrace our femininity, and looking cute. We discuss pop culture, life, careers, relationships, and so much more. Prepare to be entertained and educated. I know you're going to love it. Join our movement and embrace being another girl.
The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not reflect our employers. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. You are listening to Those Are the Girls with Mallory and Friends. I'm Mallory, and I'm really excited for this episode. We're continuing Life Month here on the podcast, and we have Amy Ford. You guys probably already know her. She is the president and founder of Embrace Grace, and she's the author of Help Her Be Brave. You guys, we are going to talk about it all, and I'm just really excited to have her on for her to tell her story, and we'll get into it. So first thing, Amy, how are you? How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for being on today. I'm excited.
Me too. And I know that our audience really likes Embrace Grace. There's been many times I've made like suggestions about, or people have suggested it to me when I've asked questions about different things. So I know everybody's going to love this episode. So I guess we should just go ahead and get into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and what makes you so passionate about helping pregnant women?
Yes. Well, I had an unplanned pregnancy myself when I was 19. I grew up in church, had an amazing family, but I did not have a relationship with the Lord. And so when I found out I was pregnant, I was so scared. I was worried about, you know, the enemy lies to you and tells you like every worst case scenario that could possibly happen. I thought my life was over. I thought my parents were going to hate me. Just all of these, like all my dreams, just constant negativity of like, I can't actually do this. And so me and the father of the baby, even though we knew abortion was wrong, we had scheduled an abortion. And when I went to the clinic, I paid for it. And I went into the room and they explained to me how they were going to do it. And I actually ended up hyperventilating and passing out in the abortion room.
Oh, wow.
And so when I came to, one of the nurses was fanning me, trying to give me a drink of water. And she said, you're too emotionally distraught to make this decision today. You can come back another day, but today you're not getting an abortion. And so I went back out in the waiting room and told the father of the baby, we're still pregnant. And so we just kind of decided in that moment, okay, like if our life is over and if our dreams are over, like we'll figure it out. So we told our parents it wasn't as hard as we thought it was. It was definitely like they were disappointed in the timing and everything. But we also knew, like, we were high school sweethearts. We knew we wanted to get married someday, just not necessarily in the order that it ended up happening. But we decided to get married when I was 16 weeks pregnant. And we had asked the pastor that had led my husband to the Lord years before if he would marry us. And he said, no, I'm sorry, because you've sinned, I will not bless this marriage.
Oh, wow.
And we just felt like so much shame. You know, we just were like, wow, we can't even get married and be blessed. Like, we've done such a horrible thing. And we found someone else who would marry us, but it definitely felt like a scarlet letter experience, you know, on our wedding day. And so we tried to go back to church after that, but it's kind of like the elephant in the room and people don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry. So they don't say anything. And then you just feel alone in a crowd of people. And so I just stopped going for a really long time. We both did. And, but I had a son and he's amazing. He's actually 24 now and married and, got a degree in theology at ORU and,
oh, wow.
He's got his MBA and his wife is a labor and delivery nurse. And like, I just, it's crazy to think that it was so close that he wouldn't be here. And so, and even now, like he shares his perspective inside of the story and he says that Satan tried to take him out, but he's here and he wants to use his life to to make a change. And he was an overcomer before he was ever even born. And, and so it's awesome to like see him out there speaking and sharing and all of that. And a couple years after we got married, that pastor that wouldn't marry us, he actually called us out of the blue and he asked for forgiveness. He called my husband. And wow. He said that he felt like it was his worst mistake in pastoring history that he had ever made and asked for forgiveness. And my husband was like, yes, of course, I forgive you. And when my son, Jess, was 16, that pastor that wouldn't marry us, he actually asked me to come speak at his church about Embrace Grace and what all we were doing. And he was very open with his congregation about what he had done years before. He had told them all that he had a religious spirit, a Pharisee heart. This is what he did. And so I came, I spoke, I did my thing. And then afterwards, he asked me to come back on the platform. And he asked my son, Jess, to come on the platform. And he said, Amy, years ago, I asked your husband for forgiveness, but I never really asked you, will you forgive me for what I did, you know, 16 years ago? I was like, yes, of course, I forgave you such a long time ago, you know, all of that. And then he looked at my son, 16, in front of the whole church. And he said, will you forgive me for planting seeds of rejection in your heart before you were ever even born? And while you were in your mother's womb, I rejected you. Will you forgive me? And my son, 16, in front of the whole church says, I forgive you. And it was such a powerful moment. Like you could feel church wounds being lifted in that room. The fact that the pastor would humble himself in that way was so healing for a lot of people that were there. And I think just going through all of that really helped me realize that the power that the church does have with this issue. And even though I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, I did go to church every week. So when I was in that situation, why did I not feel like I could go to the church and ask for prayer or wisdom or guidance or support or counsel or any of those things? Back then, we didn't have Google. So we just looked in the phone book and we just went straight to the abortion clinic. But no one even told me what a pregnancy center was, or, you know, all of these great organizations that are boots on the ground helping women. I had no idea that they existed. And so if we could raise more awareness in the church, and, you know, the abortion rate is exactly the same inside the church as it is outside. So there's no difference. Like if we can have an inreach for the women that are pregnant within our church, but also an outreach to go out and find them in our communities and bring them into a spiritual family, I really believe that that's the answer, that that is how we can make abortion unthinkable. Even more so than law, it's love that is going to change hearts and minds. And so that is kind of what started the idea of Embrace Grace.
Absolutely. I love that story. I think I've heard bits and pieces of it. I don't think I've heard the full story. That, I mean, wow. And then asking for forgiveness, I think that's huge. That is so, to me, that's so big for just a pastor to humble himself, to ask for that in front of a, like, wow. So before we move on, I have a couple questions from the story. The first one, I really like how you pointed out how you were going to church. And I do think it's important that you stated that the abortion rate in church and out of church is the same. Because I do think that sometimes people think, oh, no, if you're in church, you're definitely not going to make that decision. And people do. What do you think is the best response for, because, you know, you said that people, it was just awkward, it was disappointed. What do you think is the best response for a congregation, for a pastor in that situation?
Well, definitely. I mean, no matter what, congratulations is always in order, because a baby is always a miracle. No matter how the baby got here, a baby is always a gift from God. And just because the baby was unplanned by the mom, the baby is always planned by God. And so I think every baby should be celebrated, you know, no matter what. I know one time we had a lady that was like, you know, I'm not really sure about Embrace Grace. You give these girls baby showers. Like, don't you think that maybe they deserve more like gently used stuff? Like they made decisions to get themselves in that situation. And the Lord immediately reminded me of the prodigal son. And when you think about the story about how, you know, there was one son who had left and spent all of his dad's inheritance on all kinds of crazy stuff and wasted it all away until he had nothing left. And he was eating the leftovers of the pigs And he decided, you know, maybe I could go back home and I could eat the leftovers of my dad's servants. That's at least better than the leftovers of the pigs. But the best part of the story is it says, and while he was a long way off, the father ran to him and he had his servants put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger. And he said, son, you know, you were lost, but now you're found. And to see that a lot of these girls, they might be a long way off. Even if they're in the church, their hearts might be a long way off, like that the fact that they even are coming to the church and asking, you know, saying this is a situation that we're in and we hope that they have a repentant heart, you know, it's, but just because they have the evidence of what they did 3 months before, 6 months before, 9 months before, doesn't necessarily show the state of their heart. You know, even just all of this purity talk with youth pastors, when I was in youth, you know, they talked about losing your purity and all of that. When you can't actually lose your purity when you are a believer, like you can lose your virginity and there are consequences to that, natural consequences, spiritual consequences, emotional consequences. Like we know that that affects us, but you can't lose your purity when you ask for forgiveness, you've been washed white as snow. So having the whole ring and then taking it off because you're dirty now, it really has helped, you know, with the, because a lot of these girls are coming to Embrace Grace and they've taken their purity rings off. They've shoved it into the back corner of their jewelry box. And they said, well, I'm dirty now. So I guess I'll just sleep with whoever. Yeah. And I guess I'll just settle for guys that treat them terrible because they don't believe that they deserve more. And so that mentality of like losing something, when if I lied yesterday, does that make me that I lost my purity and I for the rest of my life, you know, or whatever sin it might be. So it's all about the heart. And even with my own daughter, she wanted a purity ring when she was 18. I said, you know, let's call it a pure heart ring. And even I, you know, I'm so proud of you that you want to stay abstinent and I pray and hope that that really happens. But even if you do mess up, you don't take this ring off, you go to the Lord and you ask for forgiveness and start again. And that this is about, what does it look like to have a pure heart where you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in your decisions? And so, you know, it's all about the heart and the certain situation that they're in. I've heard horror stories, you know, of churches' responses, even sometimes in the small towns are still making women stand in front of a congregation and confess their sin. You know, and it's like, why not the guy, or why not that the pastor ate too much of the buffet? Like, why is it that sin that they point out when girls are just going to go get abortions? Like, no one wants to do that, or they're going to have so much church hurt that they're never going to show up again. Because meanwhile, you know, there's all of these hypocrites and people that are making bad decisions, but it's like, she had to do that. So I know that there's a lot that we can do, but I really believe it's just like based on the individual person, like how was her heart? Like if she's pregnant and she wants to still be a part of church and lead and things like that, like how was her heart? You know, just because she has the evidence of that doesn't mean that she has to sit out for 9 months or whatever. It just depends on, you know, is she making better decisions now? Is she starting new? Or is she just going to keep doing what she was doing? Like that really is what it all comes down to, is the heart.
This is so good. I feel like what you're saying is also, unfortunately, like very controversial. I honestly don't think I've heard anyone talk so like handedly and with authority about this. So, I mean, I love it. I think it's, you've made such good points. I think about this all the time. Like young girls who, and I've heard, so I'm sure we've all heard stories of the young girl who slept with someone. It may have been a mistake, may not have been a mistake. And they just felt, whatever, I'll just sleep with whoever now. It doesn't matter. And it really goes back to, like you said, the heart and like realizing, you know, you one time doesn't completely discredit everything else. And some, and I always say this about like every sin, like some sins are just more visible than others. That doesn't mean like that sin is greater or worse. It's just more visible. And what really matters is how repentant you are. And I think that's something that we just as a church have to talk more about, is like repentance. Because if if someone's sin is more visible, but they repented, who cares? Like God has forgiven them. So why am I holding that against them? I think this is great. I mean, what you're doing is so needed, because you're right. I mean, there are still pastors who are Well, I'll say this. I didn't know about the straight up in the congregation. That's kind of crazy to me. But I'm sure as a woman, like as a young woman, you're not, you'd rather just go ahead and have the abortion, especially, you know, you have it in the back of your head.
Again.
Right, right. So I guess.
Never show up.
Exactly. People probably don't want to come back. I just can't imagine if, like, that must be terrifying for a young girl. I mean, for any woman, really, that would be terrifying. So my next question, I guess, is just kind of let's get into Embrace Grace. What is the model of Embrace Grace? How does it work?
Well, Embrace Grace is a support group system that is held within churches for women with unexpected pregnancies. So we have all the curriculum and the tools for the church to have these support groups because we want the church to be one of the first places a girl runs to in this situation instead of the last because of shame and guilt. So we have this 12-week Embrace Grace curriculum is super powerful. It's about healing, discipleship, sharing the gospel. It's sharing about what is the Bible. It's a book of love. And what all does, like, why did God write these things? I mean, it's getting down to the basics, but it's also super deep spiritually as far as healing, transformation, breaking generational patterns. All of that, forgiveness, repentance, you know, all of that. It is so, so good. And all of the teachings are digital. So whoever leads the group, you just press play and here's the powerful teaching. And then we give the leader like the icebreaker questions and all of the format to be able to host their own group. And then we teach them how to go to local pregnancy centers and let them know you're having a group at your church so that they will refer their clients to the church. And so we just want them to get connected to a church family. So we have Embrace Grace for when they're pregnant. We also have another program called Embrace Life for young single moms that churches sometimes just do Embrace Grace. Sometimes they have both, you know, life kind of slaps you in the face after you have a baby. And so Embrace Life is kind of getting into the practical. It's got spiritual roots of all of it, but you're getting into dating and financial stewardship and time management and hearing God's voice and all of this stuff that's like, how do I do life now as a single young mom? And then we also have Embrace Legacy, which is for young single dads. So men can lead support groups for these dads, which is really awesome too. So we have over 1,100 support groups around the nation in churches. If you want to know, if anyone's listening, want to know if there's one near you, if you just go to embracegrace.com and you put in your zip code right at the very top, all of the groups pop up in your area. But even if there is one in your area, don't let that like make you think, oh, well, then it looks like we don't need one in our area, because we need as many as possible. Yeah. Because these are only 12 weeks, it could be one's on Tuesday nights, but a girl works on Tuesday nights. So she needs another church option that maybe has it on Saturday mornings or, you know, whatever that might be. Or maybe because it's 12 weeks, you know, somebody, one church will do it from January to April. And then another church that's close by might say, well, I'm going to do mine March to through June. You know, that way we're not letting any moms fall through the cracks and they get a baby shower as part of it. And that's the church all coming together and wrapping their arms around her. We want by the end of the 12 weeks for her to be plugged into the church. We want her raising her kids in the church. We want her to feel connected to a spiritual family. And it is interesting. I find girls that are pregnant all the time. I see them everywhere. I kind of have a radar for it. And every time I invite them to come, they always have this like super hesitant look on their face or their body language changes. They're just like, wait, what, you want me to go to a church? Like, you know, I'm not married, you know? And it's sad that I think that they think that the church is for perfect people, which is what we've projected as the church, you know, instead of, the church isn't about behavior modification. It's about a heart transformation and to come as you are and let the Lord do the work. And because I've heard one time a mom said, well, I really need to stop smoking. Can you give me one more week and I'll try to come next week? And I'm like, just come now. Like you don't, it's like they think that they have to clean up everything before they're allowed to come into the church when they can come now and like that the Lord can do the work of healing our hearts and changing what our desires are to match what his desires are. So it's really fun. I've led for a long time at my own church and I say that we have front row seats to miracles. We're watching miracles happen with these moms, even practical things like their bills or a job situation or a baby daddy, whatever, like we're watching God move. And there are times that it's the church, meaning the people that are coming in to say, I really want to help this girl with this or that. And sometimes it's like, let us watch what God does, and he comes through for them every time. But to have, for them to have the community and have some guidance in this time of their life is so huge. A lot of their friends kind of distance themselves that they may have had before, because I don't really feel like it's that they don't want to be friends with them anymore. It's more of like, I don't know what to say. And so I'm just going to distance myself. And so they feel more alone now than ever. So how can we as the church be a community for her and help her get comfortable coming to church, so that even after she has a baby, like, this is an ongoing way that we can help her? Because we, a lot of pro-choice people say, oh, you only care about the baby, you don't care about the mom. And that's not true. Like, we do care about the mom, and the church can walk alongside her forever if she'll stay connected and stay apart. Like, that's the church, right? Like, we're here for each other. We help each other. And so it's really cool to see all the miracles that are happening around the nation and the world through Embrace Grace. We're in all 50 states that have groups.
That's fantastic. And like you said, it's very much needed. One of the questions I was going to ask is, like, why is it important for the pro-life movement? But you kind of answered that. I think that, you know, some of the things you talked about was, you know, the friendship at, or like the community aspect, and just having, making sure women are still coming back to church. That is so important. And I think that sometimes we forget that there's so many aspects of the pro-life movement. And that's why I really wanted to have different people doing the different things on this month, because we all have a role. We all can do something. There's different ways that we can be involved. And I think this is, what you're doing is just so great. My next question, though, is, what does the average mom look like?
Well, you know, there's really not an average mom. I would say, as far as age range, it goes from, at least in Embrace Grace, you know, standpoint, it's like from 15 to sometimes early 30s. Like, we just let the leaders be Holy Spirit led as far as, you know, who should be a part, who would get a lot out of the experience. But we have girls that are like what I mentioned earlier, like within the church, and we have girls that are, have never stepped foot in a church before. And they're both, I would say it's 50-50. And even, you know, we have some pastors that are like, well, we don't have pregnant people in our church. And I'm like, yes, you do. Like, the rates show that you do. Maybe they're not coming to you to talk about it, or maybe they're not feeling comfortable, or maybe they're leaving once they find out they're pregnant because they're scared of what if anybody found out, you know what, or maybe they're just getting abortions, but you do. But say it is like the teeniest, tiniest church in a little small town, and it's 20 people and it's all senior citizens, and you really actually don't have pregnant people in your church. Then to look at this as an outreach, go to your pregnancy centers in your community and tell them, we want your clients to come to our church. Like, we have older people, and we want to be grandmas and grandpas too. Yeah. All of these women and men, you know, that are impacted by unexpected pregnancies, please tell them they are welcome here. Invite them into your church. It sounds like you need some young people, you know, in there too. So not to just look at it as what's happening within your church, but really changing pastors' perspectives too, to say that this is an outreach, just like you would go out into your community and feed the poor, or, you know, have prison ministry and things like that. You can have a life-focused outreach that is going out and finding them. And even beyond the pregnancy centers, we have tons of ideas of how leaders have found young moms, like a lot on like Facebook buy sell trade pages. We see a lot of them post like, I just found out I'm pregnant, I'm really scared, and I need a high chair, you know, or whatever. And you'll see leaders start commenting like, oh my gosh, what area do you live in? Did you know we have a support group, and you're going to get a baby shower with brand new items? Come check this out. And they're everywhere. We just have to ask the Lord to open our eyes to them. I found them in the craziest places of, I saw one the other day, and I was leaving the office, and she, there was this girl up here, and one of the leaders that was here was like, you know, that was a girl that you met at CVS pharmacy like 2 or 3 years ago. And she was pregnant, and she was stocking the aisle, and you told her about Embrace Grace, and she was pregnant with twins. And she's been connected ever since. And she comes up here a lot. She's doing, we have a counseling thing up here. She comes up here for counseling. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about her. How awesome that she got connected to a group and got, is still staying connected even several years later. Like, I've found them everywhere, but I asked the Lord to show me. And I have a way to like ask, you know, if it's questionable, because I have gotten myself in trouble where I thought people were pregnant and they weren't. And that's awkward. but I figured out a way how to ask without asking and getting to it. And, but there's so many people that, and I don't, no one's ever been like, I'm so offended. You just, you know, asked if I was pregnant and single, you know, they, if you're, you have a smile on your face and you seem super welcoming and you're like, I'm asking because we have a group and we get a baby shower and like, we would love to help you. Do you need help? They always, I've never had anyone be like, I'm offended. Like they're always, some of them are a little apprehensive, but they've never been offended by me asking. So, but they're everywhere.
I think that's great that you even walk up to random people. I mean, that's very bold. And that actually, it has to be Holy Spirit led, because I don't know too many people that would do that, but that's really cool.
Well, I look to see if they have a ring on their finger, but sometimes it's hard because sometimes you swell up so much that they may take their ring off anyway. So you kind of just have to start a conversation to see where they're at.
Valid point. So my next question, I asked this to Emily from Let Them Live, and I was curious for you. Was there anything that changed once Roe was overturned with Embrace Grace? Did you see an influx of people? Did donors act a little different? How was there any change in Embrace Grace?
Well, definitely last year we did have an influx of all of a sudden, you know, people saying, okay, well, I need to do more, because we can't just like assume. It's really both sides. There's people that are a little more in the know that are like, okay, now more than ever, we have got to set up the support system. So for all these women that now don't have as easy access to abortion as they may have before in certain states. But then on the other side, there's some like pastors or people that are like, yay, we did it. We're done.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, like there's now more than ever, like this is where we need pregnancy centers and we need churches to stand up. So a little bit of an educational portion, but then also we definitely that happened in June, I think, of 2021 or 2022, I'm sorry. And we had around that summer, like we had definitely had an influx of people all of a sudden, like, how can I help? How can I get involved? And we just need to keep that momentum going. Like, it's still an ongoing issue. And Planned Parenthood is making it even easier for women to access abortions through, like, you know, I live in a state where it's not available. I live in Texas. So, but they send abortion vans to, you know, or they cover expenses to get them flown out somewhere. And, like it's still a need for sure. And these women now more than ever just need to know that they're not having to walk this alone. We can't just say what we believe and then say good luck with that. Like we've got to be there with them and helping them along the way.
Yeah. That's really good to hear. Emily was saying that she, in previous episodes, she was saying that she even got like a call from a donor, like, we did it. All right. That's that. And she's like, wait, no, it's not over yet. And I even had that experience. Like I had some of my, I remember when, the decision was leaked, one of my friends texted me, said, congratulations, you did it. And I was like, wait, it's actually not over yet. There's still a lot more we have to do. So yeah, I think there was some education, miscommunication for people who aren't, you know, super involved, I guess you could say. So, two more questions. My next question is, can you tell us a story, one of your favorite stories of a mom that you helped and you just felt like this was such a God thing? Like, I'm so grateful. It inspired you, reminds you to keep going.
Well, there's so many of them, but one that I think about often is a girl that she had been trafficked and she was like in the trafficking for 10 years and had been kind of brainwashed and drugs and all this stuff. And then she ended up, and her pimp had said, like, if you know, tell anyone, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family. You know, he had just really like did a number on her. Oh. And she found out she was pregnant. And she ended up finding a way to run away. And that was kind of like the incentive of like, okay, I'm going to risk everything and I'm going to try. So, cause she had already even had a felony on her record. She had for tax evasion, like he was paying her, but yet he was taking the money right back. And so when she had been arrested, the cops were like, if you tell us who your pimp is, then we will let this go. And she's in, and her pimp had already told her, like, if you tell them who I am, then you will, I'm going to kill you and I'm gonna kill your family. So she had to serve 13 months in jail. You know, she's just had a really hard thing. So when she came home, her parents brought her to church that night. And she went down front for prayer and she told the pastor that happened to be at the altar, like, I'm pregnant, I'm scared, I don't know what to do. And she said, oh my gosh, we have an Embrace Grace group starting tonight. Like, that's a good place to start. So she, cause she had ran away when she was 17. So she had no high school diploma, you know, she had nothing. Well, she got plugged into Embrace Grace and it kind of like opened her heart to like, okay, the church isn't what I thought it was. She got the baby shower. She got all of the stuff covered for her son. But then she ended up getting plugged into like single parent family ministries at this church. And so they started help covering her. They helped her get her GED. And then they started helping her with childcare so that she could go to college. And she ended up getting a degree in some kind of criminal law thing because she was really passionate about pulling women out of the trafficking industry. And so she started really getting involved with that. And we're just like so proud of her. She went through a Embrace Life and all that. Well, something crazy happened in 2020 when right before Trump was finished in office, right when he was passing the baton to Biden, he gave some pardons, presidential pardons, right before he was finished. He did 13, I think it was. And she was one of them. So he pardoned her felony. And so it fell off her record. Cause when you have a felony, it does affect, you know, as she's been working with nonprofits, but like even stuff like checking the mail and like you have these rules and laws that affect when you have a felony. So it fell off her record and this philanthropist threw her a big presidential pardon party and it was so fun. And it was like, all of these people came and even girls that she's helped pull out of the industry, people that have kind of helped her along the way, but also that she had helped and everybody kind of stood up and took a minute to like share about their impact that she's made on their life. And I was listening, even the police officer that had put her in jail was there saying how she had made an impact on his life. And I started hearing about all of these and I'm like, I'm thinking about like the church had given her a car, like someone had donated a Volkswagen Passat right out, right when she was in college. It had 200,000 miles on it, but she was like, this is my first asset because her credit had been destroyed from the pimp. But like the people that bought her that, she got counseling through the church. She needed major therapy after everything that she had been through. I was thinking about that attorney. There was also an attorney that had donated his services pro bono for all of her felony stuff before she had gotten a pardon. The baby shower items that were purchased for her, even the pastor that prayed for her at the altar, the person who donated the car, like does all of these people that really wrap their arms around her, do they know that they had a part in changing the world? Because she, like what she's doing now, she's even training police officers and how to look for traffic victims. Like she's powerhouse. And it wasn't one person. It wasn't one organization. It was the church. And to see now her thriving and doing so amazing. And it was just all of these people being obedient to the Holy Spirit of whatever, you know, I can help with this. I can help with that. And how she's blooming now and her son is doing great. And so if we all were doing that, just like what you said earlier in the episode, like we all have a part to play, like we really can make abortion unthinkable when we are doing the good works that God's called us to do, whatever that might look like, you know, whether it's practically, emotionally, or spiritually helping these women or dads that need help.
Wow. I mean, that is a beautiful story of church and community. Wow. Last question I want to ask you, and this is a question we ask all of our guests. If every single girl in the entire world was looking at you right now, what is one piece of advice you can give them? And it doesn't have to be like pro-life or Christian, or it could be whatever you think of.
Well, my word for the year is spark. And I have been really digging into what that means. And I just feel like we all have a way that we can make a difference. Like whether it's one conversation or one random text message that you send to a friend to encourage them, or the person who's checking you out at the grocery store line, or like whoever is the person in front of you, like you can make a difference and you have no idea what that might end up doing to actually end up changing the world. I mean, I've had girls in Embrace Grace that'll say, I was going to kill myself. And someone came up to me at the counter that I was working, you know, at Chick-fil-A or whatever. And they said this, you know, some sort of encouragement. And it was like, made me think differently. I mean, there's, you just never know what your conversation or something that you're doing, maybe you're paying for someone's groceries, whatever, however the Holy Spirit's leading. I think we sometimes overcomplicate when being the obedience of the Lord of like, maybe that wasn't God, you know, maybe that was, you know, me. And you're not that nice. And it probably, it wasn't the devil. The devil didn't tell you to do it. So it probably was God. But like, if we all can all be a little more bold, like the spark, we can spark people's hearts back to life. And like, even how, and you know, have a fire of revival around the world, but it starts with us. And I think we always think, oh, it's for pastors or it's the spiritual people or, you know, that it's someone else, but it's all of us together being and having big faith and being the hands and feet of Jesus is how we're going to do it. And so we just are really encouraging everyone to get involved in the movement or just being obedient to the Spirit, and we can change the world. The world is a hope, feeling hopeless right now, and we really need some hope in the hands and feet of Jesus.
Wow. That I couldn't have said it better myself. I think you're so right. It's something we all can do. We can all make a difference. And I think everyone listening, like, that's definitely a message that I feel we don't hear enough, because we see influencers, we hear about people who own big organizations, nonprofits, who own banks, and we don't think about like what we ourselves can do. So I think that that's great. What is a way, if someone wants to get involved really quick, could you tell us like where they need to go, the website?
Yeah, go to embracegrace.com for information about starting a group at your church. If you just click start a group and fill out that the form there, it doesn't mean you're actually starting a group, but it's going to send you a sample chapter of the curriculum. And it'll send you like all the next steps of what that looks like. It's a new year, so go for that. And then also, if you know someone that's pregnant, if you want to find an Embrace Grace group near them, just go to the same embracegrace.com and you can find a group near you. Also, the last thing is, if you're like, I want to get involved in the movement, but I don't know exactly what that looks like, or maybe you don't have time to lead a group. If you buy my book, Help or Be Brave, Discover Your Place in the Pro-Life Movement, it's on Amazon or on our website, embracegrace.com. It has over 300 ideas of how you can get involved in the movement. Lots of practical ideas, lots of great inspirational stories. So check that out as well. It might get your wheels turning on how you can get involved.
Ooh, that's good. Thank you everyone so much for listening. And Amy, thank you so much for coming on. This is a great episode to share, even with your friends who aren't pro-life, because I think this just shows one of the many different ways that you can be involved in the pro-life movement. And it also just shows a little bit more compassionate side than I think a lot of people know about. So this is a great episode to share. Make sure you rate, like, review, subscribe, however you're listening. I'll have a question for you guys on Spotify. We'll also do the polls. I think that's it. Do you want to add anything else?
No, but I so appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, everyone, have a great day, night, evening, however where you're listening. Bye.